I want to look a little bit about Paul today. Paul was amazing, as you know, man of God, hallelujah. But God did some amazing things with Paul. One of the most remarkable things about Paul was he was called outside of the order of the 12. God birthed that entire early church with those 12. I mean, he gave those 12 apostles. I mean, he gave them the foundation of the church, and he released the church through them. But Paul was called outside of that order. Completely outside. In fact, Paul persecuted that order. You know the story when Stephen, there in Acts chapter 8, he got the preaching, and he goes, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised," and boy, they were upset. They were gnashing upon him. They were not at the point that they were going to stone him until the heavens completely opened. And when they opened, he said, "I see him sitting at the right hand of God." Hitherto, they've been given testimony, but there's a man standing and right in front of there, and he said, "The heavens are open." It's his face like an angel. He said, "I see him standing at the right hand of God." Paul was consenting to all of this right there. And when they heard that, they stopped gnashing and started grabbing stones. And they stoned him right there. And they brought that bloody raiment right to their master, which was Saul, before he became Paul. Because he was consenting, and they handed him the blood of that righteous man. You ever wonder why God could just go and just apprehend Paul? I mean, Paul probably, most likely, without that apprehension, would have not made it to heaven. He was persecuting the church. He would not even made it there. And here's a man that gets supernaturally arrested by heaven. Jesus, arrest him in the glory of God. I mean, if God can do that and save that man from hell, why won't he do that for everybody? Why can't he just go fall on everybody and just get it done? Why does he need us if he can just do that? People say, well, he can do what he wants. Listen, God has to have the authority to do something like that. You know how and why God did that? Because they took the blood of that righteous Stephen, who they stoned when he was giving testimony of the Lord Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. I see him sitting there. Don't stone me if I tell you that one day. I see him sitting at the right hand, and they stoned him. He never got to finish his testimony. So God said, all right, take the blood. They didn't know they were doing it. Take that raiment and give it to Paul. Boy, Paul had no idea, and he kept it. He kept it. In fact, it says in Acts 22:20, listen to what it says. When the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by, consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Oh, my, you're going to keep that kind of blood on you. He couldn't even get to the next city before the Holy Ghost apprehended him on the way. With our Lord Jesus Christ apprehended him, knocked him down, and commissioned him on the spot. That's how he could do it. That's how he did it, because that blood was on him. Now, here's a remarkable thing. Stephen never got to finish his testimony. It was stopped short when he was stoned. And what God did, he said, all right, Paul, you persecuted the church. You consented to this death. You're going to finish his testimony. But you're going to finish it with testing and trials like you've never, ever seen. You're going to finish it. But I'm going to show you how many things you must suffer. You're going to finish, because Stephen's testimony was supposed to bring salvation. Right there, he opened the heavens. He was performing miracles. It was all there. So he arrested Saul, made him a Paul. Isn't that glorious? Now I'll go to Acts 26. I want to look at this a minute. He talks about it intermittently through the book of Acts. You have to look at all the different places Paul gives his little testimony, because he adds a little more every time. But I just go to Acts 26 because he just loaded in. I want to look at his commission. It's amazing, because Paul was called outside of that order. So you can't say it passed away with the apostles. That order of apostles was 12. But God called him completely outside of that order. Called a persecutor, but gave him This is most important. Every fundamental operation of the apostolic government, he gave that to Paul. We see these fundamentals. We look at them from the Bible. We apprehend them by faith. Amen? Now look at Acts 26. He's giving his testimony to King Agrippa. But he says some remarkable things here when the Lord tells him. So we look at verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them that journeyed with me. When we were all fallen to the earth. I get a kick out of people tell me all the time they see in Jesus. I said, if you see Jesus in his glory, you're not going to be standing. That's not going to happen. Everyone that sees the Lord in his glory bites the dust. Look at him in the Bible. In his glory, they do. Amen. He said, they're all falling to the earth. And I heard a voice speaking, saying in Hebrew to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, who art thou? He said, I am Jesus. Now watch this, verse 16. Powerful right here. This is one of the most powerful verses in all the book of Acts. Arise and stand on thy feet. Now he's going to get the eyewitness and he's going to get commissioned. I mean, he's getting it before he's even born again. Just remarkable. The righteous blood, righteous intercession will always open the door for God to do the impossible. This all came out of Stephen's intercession. Stephen has all of Paul's ministry on his account. He had to die for it, but he didn't have to labor for it. Say all of it. He said, rise, stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make you a minister and an eyewitness, both of the things which you have seen and those things in which I'm going to appear to you again. He had four appearances from the Lord Jesus. Paul did. Now notice what he says to him. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles, of whom now I will send. See, I will send you. He's commissioning him on the spot. Not many get commissioned, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, eyewitness, and knocked to the ground all in one day. Normally it takes a little while. Normally it takes a long time. No, watch this. This is awesome right here. He said, I'm going to send you, commissioning him. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We've been talking about this. We labor where we are. We pursue God where we are. We bloom where we're planted. But there's a whole nother operation when a commission from heaven comes. When a commission from heaven comes, it's all different. You don't have to work at it and build it up and then have it die out on you. And then build it back up and have it die out on you. How many ministers know what I'm talking about? You've been ministering long enough. You'll get it building. You'll get it rolling. You're operating off spiritual momentum. You'll get it rolling, then it dies out on you. Then you'll roll it again and it dies out on you. Under commission, it doesn't do that. When you're under commission, it's always there because the Holy Spirit has been assigned by the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through a commission. I wish that we could commission ourselves because I would have been laying... Go! Go! You thought I was going to say, come out! Okay, go! Man, I would have laid hands on myself. But I see commission, I see eyewitness, I see doctrine, and I see demonstration. It's fundamental components. And if he did it to the early church, why wouldn't he do it to the last day church? When he called Isaiah up to the throne of God, he said, I see the Lord. Woe is me, I'm unclean. We sang the song today. My eyes have seen the King. He gets an eyewitness. And then the Father They speak right out of heaven and said, who will go for us? Which tells me there was not just Isaiah there, because if Isaiah was there, he'd say, Isaiah, will you go for us? But he said, who? There's a lot more up there than just Isaiah. He called a bunch of them up there. Issuing a corporate commission, who will go? Which told me all I need, I can at least believe God for a commission. I can get in alignment. Many are called, few are chosen. The chosen are commissioned. Under apostolic government, normally it's always commissioned. When God gets ready to do something powerful, he commissions it from above. He has to, because it's fresh, it's new. It's designed to fundamentally shift the foundations of where the church is to bring it to where God wants it to be. Not just locally, internationally. A movement. A shift. To do that, there's a commissioning. When you get commissioned, the Holy Ghost stands right next to you. You can get commissioned in your business. The Holy Ghost stands next to you. But not only does he stand next to the ones commissioned, he stands next to the whole government. It's everything connected. I've appeared to you and I send you. Now notice what he says. This is powerful. Verse 18. Here's what he's going to preach and teach. To open the eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. First thing you're going to do is preach Jesus in his resurrection under an eyewitness. We are going to get that. How do you know? Because we don't see anything else. And if that's all you can see 24 hours a day, that's what you're going to get. You hadn't figured out by now what you're looking at in the spirit is what you're going to get. Whatever your attraction is in the spirit, whatever your compass is, whatever you never can get away from, it's with you day and night, night and day. That is what God wants you to do. It's there. You can't run from it. It's there. Verse 8, he said, open their eyes. Turn them from light. The power of Satan unto God. That they may receive forgiveness of sin. See, that's what you're preaching to the lost. Forgiveness of sin. That's your message. Christ and crucified under an eyewitness. But then you preach to the saved. Paul didn't just preach to the lost. He preached to the saved. Read his books. He took off where Stephen left off. Brought the full revelation of the right hand of God. Colossians, Ephesians, Hebrews. I don't think you wrote the book of Hebrews. I do believe he did. Said, you had compassion of me in my bonds. There's not very many of them were spending time in prison except him. Anyway, I'll throw that out there and let you chew on it. He says, now they may receive forgiveness of sin and, watch this, and inheritance. Say inheritance. Hey, listen, you can't come up to the altar every week and get born again. You got to move on. That's what Paul said. Let us go on to perfection. We got to go into perfection. We got to move into inheritance. We have to move into glory. You can't just sit in camp somewhere. When you do that, you're going to get stale and dry out. I wish God would let us run. He's going to let us run soon. I'm telling you, he is. We're a bunch of racehorses at the gate. So when are you going to open this gate? I am ready to run. But I just want to get what I'm going to run with. It's taking a long time to get what we're going to run with. What is that? I'm preaching it to you right now. The components of apostolic government. If he birthed the entire early church to the corporate eyewitness and he commissioned them, why is he going to do it again? Of course he's going to do it again. Hallelujah. We preach inheritance. Say inheritance. I want some inheritance. Inheritance, you don't work for it. It doesn't come the same way. It's a different operation. That we may know freely the things given to us of God. We have to learn to receive freely. That's hard to do when we're a works-oriented society. We're the ones that get in the way. We think we have to do it. Most of the things that block inheritance is us. Our works, if it be of works, is not of grace. It would be of grace. It's not of works. You cannot be in both places. You're going to be in one place or the other. Fullness of grace, or you're going to be in works. I want to freely receive. Say freely. I want to freely receive. I want to receive the way he's designed us to receive. So he commissions Paul. He sends them to preach to the lost and teach the saved. And we are still learning this day. Amen. Hallelujah. Now run over to Acts 18 real quick. He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. We have a heavenly vision. You got to be careful where you sign up at. Some people come in here and say, I ain't signing up for that. That's because you might have been exposed to church all your life that has an earthly. Its whole function is earthly. It operates in the earthly. It operates soulishly. It operates in the natural. You get into a heavenly, but then you get in over the heavenly things that get squirrely. We got to find the right way. Amen. We got to find the right path. Now see, Paul now, what's interesting about him, he gets a double commission. He gets commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after God raised him up a little bit, matured him a little bit, he's over there in Antioch with Barnabas, and they separate him. Now, this one, it gets turned up. Man, the Holy Ghost separates him through an apostolic operation. Jerusalem had an apostolic government. Antioch had an apostolic government. They had apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors. They were flowing together. In fact, when we were sitting there in worship a minute ago, in fact, when you were talking about oil, got us all up in the oil. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm going to birth 10 full-time ministries within the next 6 months out of this place. He said it to me 3 times. Now, there's a lot of you are ministers in here, but he's going to separate. When he separates, say, separate. You get separated. He'll make it work for you. I remember on my 30th birthday, I was 30 years old, in Dallas, in the wrong city. God said, now you're going to go back home. And he opened the Bible study that opened this church up. I don't know if we even have any of the original members in there. We might. Anybody the original? Lily? Praise the Lord. And I remember the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, don't go do this. Until he speaks to you, do it. And how will I know? He goes, I want you to walk away from your job right now. And I want you to fall. Now, he opened up a venue. He didn't have me walk away from job to sit on a couch. There was a venue. There wasn't a big venue. And you know what? I argued with him. Because I tried to do that before. There's 12 people in this Bible study. It was just Saturday night. He goes, what I want you to do is I want you to preach to them on Saturday night, and I want you to pray. You know, I said, Lord, I can work. And then I can preach Saturday night. He goes, but I don't want you to do that. I want you to preach them on a Saturday night. And then I want you to pray during the week. And I kept arguing with him. He said, I want you to do this. I said, Lord, where am I going to live? What am I going to do? I step out in faith. I move back here. And the Bible study we're having, it, they let me have a little room in the upper corner of their house. Fine by me. And I preached on Saturday night and I prayed. And that door closed as fast as it opened. I get down here within 2 weeks. you know, we're going to have to make other arrangements. Housing arrangements, ministry arrangements. And guess who opened the door? Betty Jean and Richard. Remember that on Jones Road? They were there and in their little ministry meeting. And we had meetings on Saturday night. But I have a place to live. And I'm full time. See, when God does it, though. It just so happened one day, one of the ladies come in there that's in the ministry. So this lady come in and she said, you know, I just decorated this house. She was interior designer for this guy, and he's not even living in the house. He just had me redo the whole house. And she goes, I probably could get him open his house to you. You think you could live there? It's on 10 acres. He still has a house cleaner that comes and cleans it, although nobody lives there. Every Thursday, he has people do all the landscaping every week. Let me pray about it. I'll get back with you. I turn around. Oh, glory to God. I kid you not. I go over to his house. He had his truck loaded. I say hello to him. I shake his hand. He said, my name is Pete. Here's the keys. He said, the cleaners will be here on Thursday. The yard man will be here on Friday. Don't worry. Take care of it. I'll see you in 6 months. He says, if you have any questions, call me. And he goes, oh, by the way, there's a whole bunch of salmon in the fridge. Eat it all. God opens the door. Amen. But if you launch and nothing happens, go back to work. Amen. Hey, don't worry about it. It happens to everybody. Because I tried to do that 4 times before that, and it never worked. Amen? When it's right, God will do it for you. Glory to God forever. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. So they separate Paul. Separate. Man, when he got separated, the Holy Ghost came upon him, and things started happening. Man, Paul had a remarkable. So Paul gets eyewitness. He gets commission. He gets commission from heaven. He gets commission from earthly apostolic operation. He gets a double commission. And when he does, the Holy Ghost comes on him. And I'm telling you, things start happening in a major way. He has the doctrine. We know that doctrine. We know it very clearly. He has the doctrine of the resurrection. I want you to look at this just for a minute really quick. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. Then I want to look just a minute at some of the stuff going on in his ministry. He had a lot happening. And it happened throughout the course of his ministry. Once he was separated, commissioned by the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost was with him all the way through. It wasn't ebb and flow. I mean, it wasn't up and down. It was all the time. That's where we're headed. Full time. I'm not talking about this full time ministry. Full time demonstration. There is in the process now the restoration of apostolic demonstration. When these components come in line, it's going to happen. Now go look at 1 Corinthians 15 here. 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So he's going to tell you what his gospel is. This is as clear cut as you can be in 4 or 5 verses. Watch what he says here. Which I have received, wherein you stand. Amen. Which also you're saved, and you keep in memory of what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Now he's going to tell you his gospel. We return to this kind of gospel with all the components of this gospel. It's going to work the exact same way. Look at verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all, this is the gospel, by the way, of all that I have received, how Christ died for our sin. According to Scripture, he was buried and he rose again. The third day, according to Scripture, so he speaks of the resurrection, and he goes right into the eyewitness, and he was seen, and he was seen, and he was seen, and he was seen. And he was seen. And he was seen. Say, and he was seen. He was seen of all the apostles, the 12 first, and then he was seen of all the apostles. There must have been more than 12. He already said he was seen of the 12, and then he was seen of all of them. And he was seen of 500, and he was seen. And then at the last, he was seen of me also. And this was the gospel that he preached, the bearing eyewitness testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Go over to Acts 13. You guys are familiar with Paul's ministry. But I like some of the demonstration, the Holy Ghost, the way the Holy Ghost worked with him. The way the Holy Ghost shifted whole cities. Iconium. You can read about this later in Acts 14. They had a major outpouring in Iconium. Miracles, signs, and wonders. And half the city was converted through their first visit. Say half the city. Said part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Hey, I take half the city all day long. Would you take half of 6 million people in your first journey? Half the city converted through miracles, signs, and wonders in chapter 14, poured out on Iconium. But this is what I like. This is the kind of stuff we're about to see. Get ready for this. Acts 13. This is where you don't mess around, gospel. We should title this message, Don't Mess Around, Gospel. When you got this kind of power and you're under commission of the Holy Ghost, the big, mighty, bad sorcerers, they the ones going to be in trouble. Look at the verse 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now, you got to understand, Paul's under commission now. That sorcerer was just messing with the wrong dude. Which was with the deputy. Now, listen, you need to understand, there's a lot of occultic operations that are with people in high positions. A lot of people in high positions have a lot of cultic people around them. You can call them sorcerers, you can call them witches, you can call them whatever you want, warlocks, but they will have occultic people around them. And they have been given powers, demonic powers. They have them around, and this sorcerer was with this deputy. But God was just about to convert him. Now, if you're going to go in there uncommissioned and without power, you're not going to see conversion. But Paul went in there commissioned with power. And this sorcerer, Bar-Jesus, which was with, verse 7, the deputy of the country, he was there. Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So now we got a classic showdown. What are you going to do when a warlock or a witch or a sorcerer standing there? Boy, you got the good. Something's going to happen. He stood there and tried to withstand Paul. Well, Paul was under commission of the Holy Ghost. When you're under commission, you say something, it's going to happen. You can say, I rebuke you all day long. But when you're under commission, it's rebuked. That's what we need. To shift this world. To release this apostolic government. We need commission from above. I know I can't commission myself. I know you can't either. But I can hold his word up to him and say, this is how you did it with them. Do you want us to look like them? Give us what they have. Because you gave it all to them. The apostles were commissioned. Paul was commissioned. Moses was commissioned. Peter was double commissioned. Paul was double commissioned. We're going to retire to the book of Acts, but we better get what they have. But that's why it's not working right now. Preach that. I can hold his word up and said, right here, this is how you did it. And Elymas withstood him. Oh, then Paul, you can write commission Paul with the Holy Ghost under eyewitness. Verse 9, then Saul, which was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him. Boy, that means Paul was ticked. It's like, boy, you are in the wrong place. He said, oh, you man full of all subtlety and mischief. You child of the devil. Well, we better walk in love towards them guys. You are not going to walk in love towards a sorcerer. He's there to withstand you. You're going to have apostolic power. Set his eyes on him, all full of all, thou child of the devil. You enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord's upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist of darkness. Bam! He went blind right in front. And he went about, the mighty sorcerer, that stood in front of Paul, because he'd been doing that a long time, because he was with that deputy, keeping him in power. He's walking around looking for somebody, running into stuff. Here's the sorcerer right here. Says, you just walk on off of him. Here's Paul now. He turns right back to the deputy. and the deputy. See, that's what apostolic demonstration does. And the deputy, which saw what was done, believed. Listen to this, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. See, there is a gospel of astonishment that goes way beyond what's going on in our churches. It's a gospel that astonishes people. See, that deputy needed to be astonished. That deputy goes, that guy's been with me a long time. I have never seen anybody do that. And he believed on the spot. That's what apostolic demonstration does. That's what apostolic power does. Whew, say gospel of astonishment. You remember when Paul raised the dead? He preached too long. I said, Lord, please never let that happen to me. There was a guy on the third rafter. And Paul was preaching all night, preached long. And Paul preached so long, you remember? That he was a young boy, and he was. That didn't happen to me, so I don't have that problem. Amen? That was time to say amen. Amen? He preached so long, he fell off the rafters and died on the spot. And everybody was just throwing a fit, and he said, oh, trouble not yourself. His life sent him. Paul raised him from the dead. That's what happens. I mean, if you preach and someone dies, power raised from the dead. Oh, that never happens. If you're falling off your chair, I hope it's the Holy Ghost falling off the chair. Glory to God. I like this one. Go to chapter 19. Now, ministers, pay attention. When you're preaching and you got a lot to preach, don't cover every bit of it, scripture by scripture. Exhort it. That's what I've been doing to you today, exhorting. What it takes you 30 minutes to say, you can say in 5 minutes. You ever been in front of a minister? It just goes on and on like the energizing bunny. Everybody has a threshold. Everybody has a threshold. You preach through their threshold, they're not listening to you anymore. If you don't notice that you've preached through their threshold, they'll start doing like this. Now, there'll always be one or two like that. Now, while I'm teaching, you never focus on the one yawning. You're always the tendency the devil's going to have you focus on the one person that's rolling their eyes at you. Listen, when you're preaching, you're always going to, somebody's going to roll their eyes. They're going to be going, oh, brother, what am I doing here? Their wife must have drug them in there or something. Or they're in there like, they don't want to be here. Or the man drugged the wife and she don't want to be here. Or the kids don't want to be here. And the enemy go, look, look right there. That's the whole congregation right there. Look, that's everything. If you focus on them, the anointing will lift right off of you. Just act like they ain't there. Don't focus on the ones not listening to you. Focus on the ones that are lapping it up. Amen? That'll help you out. Praise the Lord. Just trying to help you out. Glory to God. Don't over-prepare. If you over-prepare, the worst thing you do, if you ever see a new preacher with 8 pages of notes, you might as well either get out or know you're going to be there for a while because they are going to conquer the entire 8 pages. Turn the page, turn the page, turn the page, and they're reading line upon line, verbatim. It's all coming from their head. They know. Change it up a little bit. They got, hey, I'm going to get all 8 pages too because I might not get invited to preach again. They have a saying in the full gospel churches, blessed are the short-winded, for they will be invited back. If you're going to be long-winded, you better have something to say, especially up in here. I'd just much rather guest speakers come in here and just demonstrate and operate in the operations of the Spirit and all that. Because you get teached all the time, you know, you're always being taught. Hallelujah. Let's look at this, and then we'll close. Go to Acts 19:11. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul so that his body were brought unto him, sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. I mean, they put that cloth up against his commissioned man, and he'd lay that anointing on it, and them cloths hit people, bam. Not only would diseases departed, but devils would come out of people. You know, somebody's demonically possessed? Go lay the handkerchief right up underneath their pillow. When they go to sleep tonight, just get ready because they're going to start screaming. That's some power right there. Verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and them that which used curious arts, demonic witchcraft, brought their books together and burned them before all men. You got revival. It's on. It's on. Say it's on. Now, I'm going to read these two or three scriptures. You don't have to go there, but I want you to listen to this scripture. Very important. 2 Corinthians 12:12, truly the signs, say signs, of an apostle were wrought among you with all patience, signs, miracles, and mighty deeds. Really what we are here is apostles in training. Because when you really are operating an apostolic office, there's going to be signs, miracles, wonders, and mighty deeds that are going to accompany that ministry. It's going to accompany that government. It's going to be able to be imparted. Paul said, I long to see you that I may impart a spiritual gift. It's an impartable government. What you're operating in can be imparted freely. That's what's coming. This is 1 Corinthians 2. I like this. Verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That's what we want. Amen. Last one, 1 Thessalonians. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. Power and in the Holy Ghost. Let's give him glory. Praise God. So what do we do now? We take the Constitution and we hold it very near and dear to us and say, Lord, this is the pattern. This is how you did it. This is the blueprint. We keep it before you day and night, night and day, until we see this fulfilled. This government is in this Constitution. These things are all there. It's the precedence for what God has said. It's the precedence of what we're looking for. Why don't we just find out what they had and at least duplicate it and ask for it, seek it, apply faith for it. You know what? It's probably going to work. Not probably, it's going to absolutely work. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for this blueprint, commission, eyewitness, doctrine, demonstration. Commission, eyewitness, doctrine, and demonstration. Father, the fundamental blueprints of apostolic government is the apostolic testimony of the eyewitness, the word of the resurrection, and the testimony of the Holy Spirit under the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we want. This is what we preach. This is what we pursue. This is the compass set in our heart, and we will not let it go. It will not depart, Father. Bless this congregation today. Keep us on that pathway, Father, to your fullness in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah.